Blog Talk Radio.
Kumbaya, Mariel, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, Mariel, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, Mariel, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, Mariel, Kumbaya. They call him Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. We call him Abba, Yah, Father, just with mighty power, self-existing one. By his hand his will is done. So far away, we have strayed. For God and the forefathers were Hebrew slaves, seeking daily to be forgave with crying, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya. They call him Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. We call him Abba, Yah, Father, yes, with mighty power, self-existing one. By his hand his will is done, self-existing one. By his hand his will is done. We're crying Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. We call him Abba, Yah, Father, yes, with mighty power, self-existing one. By his hand his will is done. Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya. They call him Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. We call him Abba, Yah, Father, just with mighty power, self-existing one. By his hand his will is done. So far away, we have strayed. For God and the forefathers were Hebrew slaves, seeking daily to be forgave with crying, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya. They call him Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. We call him Abba, Yah, Father, yes, with mighty power, self-existing one. By his hand his will is done, self-existing one. By his hand his will is done. We're crying Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Mighty El, Kumbaya. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. We call him Abba, Yah, Father, yes, with mighty power, self-existing one. By his hand his will is done.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was upbeat. Hallelujah. Now that's what you call good rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
I can't listen to this rap, Elder, you know, this modern stuff. And I was really, at one time, just totally against rap music. But music like that, you know, kind of restored my hope in rap music. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some good rap. Some Israelite brothers and sisters made some nice songs. You know that one that we like a lot, Meditate on Yah. You know, there's a lot of good words that's under the anointing of the, you know, the Ruach. So,
But good evening to our listeners here. Welcome again. We are the Hebrew Israelite nation, and we are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite nation. And we have another another good show for you tonight. It's a rainy night where I'm at, and you know, this is a good night to be in, focusing on Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a good subject. My elder was blessed to come up with a good subject. I really like this. We're going to talk about this and a few other things, but we're going to speak on covetousness. And elder's going to bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll try to add what I can. And we have a scriptural text, but tonight it's found in Luke 12:15. And I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possessed." You know, a lot of times we base our self-worth and self-value on how many material possessions we could compile during our lifetime. But our Mashiach is saying that counts for very little. That matter of fact, in the big scheme of things, that doesn't count for hardly anything. You know, man's life does not just consist of the abundance of the things, you know, that he could heap upon himself, material things. And so when you look at that, that's what a lot of people be coveting, Elder. They see it in somebody else. They see those things, and and they covet those things. You know,
that's right.
Believers of Scripture say, covet earnestly the gifts, the good gifts of Yah. If we're gonna covet anything, covet the gifts of Yah. You know, especially the gift of love, charity. You know, but we covet the wrong things. We covet somebody's woman, somebody's husband, and covet somebody's new car. Somebody got a promotion, and maybe they move out to a different, you know, area, move out of the city, up on the hill. You know, we covet the wrong things. So we're going to try to bring this out, and we have a few other things that we're just going to kind of freestyle with tonight. So, Elder Yael is with us tonight, and I myself, Elder Uriah, and I'm going to do what I do every week. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Elder Yael to get things started. Go ahead, Elder.
Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, you know, that sin of covetousness, I tell you, it really covers quite a few different things out here, you know. It's basically the gateway to many other sins, you know, such as adultery, like you were trying to about to touch on there, you know, hatred or murder, you know, stealing.
Right.
All of this is wrapped up in covetousness, see? And so when we look at this thing, man, we have to look at what Yahushua has told us and warned us about, you know, about this covetousness stuff, okay? And also it is also idolatry, which takes us back to the first two commandments, and in some way, the third and fourth also. And coveting starts with the lust of the eyes, okay?
Yeah.
Looking at stuff too long, that's it. We got it. We become desirous of it, you know? And we can take a look at an example of that, you know? For instance, the very first sin our first parents committed, In the garden was a result of coveting, you see? And I think we can kind of look at that. If we go back to Genesis chapter 3, and look what it says here, you know? I'm sure, you know, it's not hard to remember because a lot of us probably have looked at this quite a bit. Genesis chapter 3.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to read it.
They looked at that thing too long, like you said.
Right? That's right. You see, in verse 6, what does it say? And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree desirable to take one, make one wise. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate also. Is it? So look what she did. She saw. She looked at that. Man, she lusted after the wisdom or knowledge of the tree. She lusted after it, you know, which is the same as to covet. So we see in the 10th commandment, for instance, meaning to desire or take pleasure in. You see? So that's what we see these things. That's what we're looking at here. And so this is a serious topic here when I look at it. And I want to kind of go a little further here, a step further. For instance, even the scripture tells us in the 10 commandments now, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Let's look at that real quick so that we'll, you know exactly where we're at. All right. It tells us, you do not covet your neighbor's house. You do not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or whatever belongs to your neighbor. You see, that's a commandment from Yah, as in the Ten Commandments. You see? So, it's that wicked desire that drives many to the sin of covetousness. That's what we want to consider. Think about that. Remember that. Which usually starts with the eyes, of course. Okay? People will see something that, like you just said, that others have, and they will desire it for themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's why we got to be careful. We got to be careful with our, you know, looking at other people's stuff, things that belong to somebody, other people's wife, you know, husband.
Right.
You know,
right.
We got to be careful because next thing you know, all of a sudden things start to looking good to you and you start desiring it. And now you start, for some reason, making plans in your head, in your mind. Okay? And so look at that. Just like lying and murder, covetousness also has its origin really in the devil. You know that? That's where it really starts. Because, think about it. Satan was the very first being to covet. Satan is guilty of coveting even the creator himself. You see? As we
can see. He wanted to be like the Most High.
There you go. All you got to do is go to Isaiah chapter 14. You know, we can take a quick look at that if you want. That way we can kind of see what Satan himself. See, and when we see these things was written down for our learning, okay? And so that's why we look at the scripture so that we can go by what the scripture has already counseled us in. And then we can avoid a lot of these stuff that brings us down. Okay? Isaiah chapter 14, start with verse 12. How you have fallen from the heavens, O Hallel, son of the morning. You have been cut down to the ground, you who laid low the nation. But you have said in your heart, listen at that, in your heart, let me go up to the heavens. Let me raise my throne above the stars of Yah. And let me sit in the mount of appointment on the sides of the north. See, Satan just taking his mind way on up a little bit farther than what he should be doing, you know, because when he's going in that direction, you know, when he go in that direction, he's making a mistake, you see. And so we can see it. That's why we have to make sure we keep looking at the word of Yah, all right? Now it goes on to say here, okay, let me get back to where I was. Okay, verse 14. Let me go up above the heights of the cloud. Let me be like the Most High. Isn't that something? But Yah has a word for him. He said, but you are brought down to Sheol, to the sides of the pit. That's where you're going, buddy. You know, you may as well get off of this kick that you're on. Okay? Those who see you stare at you and ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook rings? Is this the man? You see? So this is what we're talking about here. We cannot let ourselves get caught up in the ways of Satan, being lured in by him, by his tricks that he uses on the people of the world. Okay, let's keep ourselves in line, in order, in tune with Yah, because Yahushua is giving us a parable, that one that we just read, Luke chapter 12. I want to just go right down a little bit further in that reading, that particular parable that Yahushua gave us, okay? Luke chapter 12, verse 15, you just read verse 15, and he said to them, "Mind and beware of greed, because one's life does not consist of the excess of his possessions," okay? See, that's what we got to remember, these things, what Yahushua has warned us about. He then spoke a parable to them, saying, now I like this parable because, you know, I have to be careful here trying to save money for myself and looking ahead with all the money that I may possibly have in the future. I don't know. I know I won't, but I'm just thinking about these things. When I look at this parable, it just kind of keep me in focus, keep me, you know, thinking, because this is amazing. He says, "And then spoke a parable to them, saying, the land of a certain rich man yielded well." Listen to that. "And he was reasoning within himself," okay, "saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to store my crops." Oh boy, he had so much. "And he said, I am going to do this. Pull down my storehouses and build greater, and store all my crops and my goods there." Check it out. He's just making plans within his head, you know, with all of this crop, all of this stuff that he have now. "Then say to myself, life, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, rejoice." This is how he started thinking, see? And so, you know, we got to look at what Yahushua was telling us, showing us in this parable. But Yah said to him, "You mindless one, mindless one." Okay? "This night your life shall be demanded from you, and who shall own what you have prepared?" Now, can you imagine that? All of a sudden, you're sitting there reminiscing on all of this stuff that you got, you're going to do, how you're going to live, you know, once you put all of this stuff away like you got it, like you want it. And then all of a sudden, Yah comes to you and tell you this thing. You know, that will be a very disappointing something for you to hear at that moment, at that point. So it is, Yahushua was telling us, "So is he who is storing up treasure for himself and is not rich towards Yah." See, that's the key. You know, he didn't say it was wrong to have these treasures, but it's wrong when you are not rich towards Yah, when you leave Yah out of your claim. You see? And so that's the key, because we know how some of our ancestors was very rich, you know, Abraham. You know, rich has plenty. You know,
Jacob.
You know, you see that. So, you know, we don't have to be afraid of being rich, but we got to keep everything in its right perspective. Keep it in its right perspective, because you don't want to go out here walking, and all of a sudden you're gonna leave out of your plans. You know, because I feel that Yah has blessed me, you know, abundantly, you know, and I see my own life. If I was crazy as this guy here in this parable, I may start to try to say some things that don't make sense too, you know. I'm always keeping my eyes on Yah, you know, because I'm starting to see some things. For instance, you know this senator, Elijah Cummings. I don't know if you know him, this brew.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of him. Yeah.
Yeah, He just died just recently.
Right.
I think last week or 2 weeks or so. Right. You know, and
he had been ill for a while.
Yes, uh huh. And of course, I didn't even know that. You know, but the idea that he was so young. You know, I didn't realize he was only 68 years old. You know, that was young for as I'm concerned, and he just all of a sudden dropped on off. And when I look at his lifestyle, when I look at, you know, the life he led up there, wasting a lot of his time, to me, far as I'm concerned, now, I could be wrong, but, you know, fighting, I guess, for civil rights and so forth, and hustling, running with these Gentiles, they're the one really leading this junk in this country. And yeah, they got a few of us up there around hanging out with them, but they're the one. It's their plans that's taking effect. What they have chosen the way it wants, that it's going to go. And so, you know, you want to, when you find yourself in a situation like that, you know, you might want to make sure you turn around, take a break, and kind of look at who you are. You know, you're not one of those Gentiles that you up there being. Basically following, you know, you are
right.
Hebrews, you are somebody that Yah owns. Yah is your father, you know, and so that's why we gotta not let ourselves get carried away and waste our lives out there with what the Gentiles are doing, because they done got so confused now, so messed up, they fighting against each other. You see? And so when I see what's going on, I'm reminded of what Yahushua says, if Satan fights against himself, he will not stand. You see?
Uh-huh.
And so if we see these congressmen up there, Republican versus Democrat, and they've got such a fight going on. It's a real war between them now. You know? I mean, it's literally a war, you know? And so when we see that going on, we better be reminded of what Yahushua has reminded us about. You know, this thing, when you see this thing, they will not stand. So there it is. He will not, this whole country will not stand with this kind of stuff that is going on that we're looking at right now today. It will not stand, see? And so I don't know if that's part of the leading up to, you know, the totally, judgment of this country for what they have done to us. You know, it could be that too. So I don't know. But, you know, we just got to keep our eyes on Yah and keep listening to the word, his word. Stay in Yah's word. That's what we got to do. That's what Yahushua wants to do. You see? And he goes on to say, as I read some more into this parable, and he said to his taught ones, "For this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life, okay? What you shall eat, nor about the body, what you shall put on, okay? Don't worry about these things. The life is more than the food, and the body is more than the clothing, okay? That's what we got to be concerned about, you know? The life. That's why Yahushua said in John 6:63, it tells us, the words that I speak unto you, they are life, okay? They are life. See, that's what we got to remember. What is life, okay? And so we eat that word, live off of that, we will have eternal life, because his word will never be destroyed, no matter what. Satan's trying to do, you see? So let's get into his word, and let's make that part of us, okay? Let's digest it, eat it. Okay, and I said, look at the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor granary, and Yah feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the bird? You see, that's what we got to think about. Remember all of these good things that Yahushua has given us so that we can live through all of these times, the things that are taking place on this earth. We don't have to allow ourselves to be worried about it, carried away about it, okay? You know, because we know the life, Yah's word, is eternal life. So we don't have to stay with that. Stay with his word, okay? Okay, because he tells us heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. You see? So that's why we know we got a hold to the right source when we get a hold to Yah's word. Okay? And so that's why I'm trying to encourage those that may be listening to me today, you know. So it says, if then you are unable to do the least, why do you worry about the rest? Okay? Look at the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I say to you, even Solomon, in all his esteem, was not dressed like one of these. You see? So, you know, Yah's letting us know, hey, you know, we are more valuable than any of these things out there. That's why he said, stay in his word. You will be one of my top ones, my disciples, if you just stay in Yah's word. And if Yah so clothed the grass, which today exists in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more you, oh, you of little faith, little belief, okay? How much more? And do not seek what you eat, okay? Do not seek what you shall eat or what you shall drink. And do not keep worrying. That's what you're telling us, okay? That's the message for tonight. Do not keep worrying, because like he's saying here, for the nations of the world seek all of these things, you know? And when I look around and I see the nations that we are living amongst, you know, a lot of these people, I see them, they're getting old and they're getting wrinkled so quick, you know? That's just reality. All you got to do is just look out there. I ain't trying to talk about nobody, but it is a fact, you know. They just, you know, and one, a lot of them that I meet, you know, it's like they are kind of hopeless. A lot of them are just hopeless, you know. It's like they don't have no future to look forward to, you know. And, right. and you know, even their Jesus ain't is not even doing them much good now. You know, they can, it's a sad sight to really look at there and see what you see now, okay, amongst those Gentiles, see? And so that's what we got to understand and realize, okay? We got to do what Yahshua is counseling us here. Seek the ring, the kingdom of Yah, and all these shall be added to you. Do not fear a little flock, okay, because your Father did delight to give you the kingdom, the ring, okay? So you see what we have to look forward to, you know?
Yes.
The kingdom of Yah. We have that to look forward to. So we, no way, we should be walking around here with our heads on down, you know, growing old and wrinkled and gray-headed and not, you know, as though we don't have no future. We don't have that to even be worried about. We don't have to let ourselves get down to that kind of situation, okay? See, your possession, sell your possessions and give in kind. Make yourselves purses which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief does come near, nor moth destroys. You see? Can you imagine that? That's exciting to me. You see? Telling me I'm knowing now how to react to these conditions that we are surrounded by now. You see? Just keep my eyes on Yah's word and be obedient. Do what he is, you know, is counseling us to do. And we will be all right. Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning. And be like men waiting for their master when he shall return from the wedding. That when he comes and knocks, it's open to him immediately. You see? That's what we got to look forward to. That's what we need to be concerned about. Not looking at all of these things that are going on out there in the world, in politics and everything. So see what's so strange, too. You know, I sometimes meet Hebrews, and some of them are still so caught up into this political world out there. It's crazy. It's really crazy because some people are just as mad as Donald Trump right now as Hillary Clinton is. And I'm saying to myself, How could you let this devil, this demon, possess you and have you just pissed off at somebody you can't even get to meet? All you see is
right.
on TV, like you see everything else. You see? I mean, I don't care what, even Hillary Clinton, you know, I know she's been accused of many things, you know, and whether they're right or wrong, I don't know. But I tell you what, it looks pretty bad for her, for as I'm concerned. And so, I ain't gonna run around be hating so bad that I'm just gonna just be mad when somebody mentioned, you know, the idea. If you just mention the name Trump, is that gonna get me so thrown off of off the key that, you know, I'm just gonna go ballistic or something? No,
right.
I don't care. You know, that man is doing whoever called him to do what he's doing. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so let him do what he's doing and whatever he, you know, because I'm gonna be doing what my master, Yahushua, you know, is giving me to do, leading me into. You see, and long as I follow him, you know, be obedient to him. And be like what he's telling me to be right here in this book of Luke 12, I know I'm going to be all right. Because look, 37, verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, shall find watching. Truly I say to you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to eat and shall come and serve them. Can you imagine that? You see? And if he comes in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so blessed are those servants. See? So that's why we can't never, no matter what is going on, don't let this stuff distract us, this political world, you know, because I'm telling you, we don't have to. We just keep our heart and mind, you know, just stayed on Yah and Yahushua and his word. And know this, it says, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief comes, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. And you then, be ready, for the Son of Adam is coming at an hour you do not expect. Okay? So let's be ready. Let's be ready. And let's just remember that he is coming. Don't let the Satan distract you. And all of a sudden you forget the fact that he is coming. You know, let's not let that happen to us, okay? So, Elder, I'm going to let you come on up and, you know, throw some insight onto this, because I know Yah has probably gave you some blessings, too, looking at these things that are coming up on the surface, okay? All right. So come on up, Elder.
Hallelujah. Well, Elder, you did such a good job on the coveting subject. There's not a whole lot I can add to that at this time. I was thinking of one of the great patriarchs of the Bible, King David himself. He got called mm-hmm. covetous. He coveted beautiful black woman, Bathsheba,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. even though she belonged to another man, that didn't stop David. You know, he has the authority of the king. He has the throne. So he used that in an evil way. He used the weight of the throne in an evil
mm-hmm.
way. Like you say, he kept his eye on that too long. He watched her bathing in the nude, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't, Bible don't say how many different times he watched her. He could have watched her consecutive nights, consecutive days, or whatever, whenever she would bathe,
mm-hmm.
and he mm-hmm. kept his eye on her, and next thing you know, the lust and the, you know, the desire just grew, and now this is not just any man. This man who Yah says man after his own heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that we better take heed that we don't fall into covetousness. You know,
That's right.
We have to look at our patriarch. How he kept his eye on the wrong thing for too long,
and he let that that desire, that evil desire, build up in his heart. And look at the end result. It led him not only to commit adultery, but to have a faithful man in his military murdered. You know,
that's right.
So, and we know that Dawid reeked gravely. Not only did the child die that was conceived of that evil, but Dawid went through years of suffering, running, and you know, with battle from King Saul. Dawid had years of turmoil in his life. You know, that didn't have to be. You know, but and Yah left that on record to show if one of his great patriarchs could go through that, you know, woe unto us if you know, if we don't take our eye off. That's why Yahshua say, you know, if your hand offend thee, if your eye offend, pluck it out. It's better to go to the kingdom with one limb or one eye, you know, than to not go at all. So that covetousness is no joke, and but I was going to address Elder what I just kind of feel the mood of the people, our people. Seems that a lot of us, you know, we're feeling wore out, you know, feeling wore out, and including yours truly. I'm not separated from this. And I looked at the scripture. Well, before I looked at it, Yah just brought me to this scripture I knew I had heard several times before. And it was, so I had to look up to where it's at, Daniel 7:25. And I'll just paraphrase. I won't even turn there. But Yah, I mean, the word of Yah say, Satan will wear out the saints. That's the old King James. He's going to wear out the people of Yah, you know. And wear out, that wear out doesn't mean he's going to defeat them, but he's going to grind. It's a grind. He's going to grind them into a fatigue. That's what that word wear out. It's like a fatigue, a mental and a spiritual and even physical fatigue wear us out by grinding us down, grinding upon us, you know, where making things hard at your job, making things hard in your home life, making things hard in your relationship with your spouse, hard in your relationship with your children. You know, making things sometimes financially hard, you know, just a grind, and he's just going to wear us down, you know, grind us down, just like you're grinding, just like in a mill, they're grinding down the grain, going to grind us down, not defeat, but grinding us down into a state of utter fatigue. And I know a lot of our people are at that point right now. And I listened to a online, I might just go through a sabbatical where I just don't listen to none of these online ministers, especially the ministers. They're all over the place. And you know, Elder, I don't give any names on the air. Man, I'm just going to go ahead and not say a name, but this husband and wife ministry, I was, listen to that down for a minute on YouTube. And, wow, the hypocrisy. And, you know, these people, sometimes you can't say too much about them because they build up, they're like celebrities in a way. They build up a fan base, like a Beyonce or something. And, you know, our people are. We're celebrity driven. We love our. If you're not pulling for Beyonce or Lil Wayne or whoever, then you're pulling for your favorite preacher or your favorite Hebrew Israelite teacher. We just love to worship and idolize men. When I say men, that's both sexes, mankind, male and female. And I say this because, you know, I looked at some of the comments, and, oh, boy, here come the people, you know, like that's their fan club. And, my goodness, Elder, I'm so glad that we're not on that medium and we don't look for people to idolize us that much. We're directing you to seek Yah for yourself. Not that we are some children of Yah, and we've got it all made and all figured out. Yah forbid. We're two people that's trying to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we are. But you hear some people like you think they just got it all made, like they've already apprehended. Jehovah say, I do not think I've apprehended. He say, one thing I do is to get those things behind and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Yah in our Mashiach. But I listened to this person, couple, and she was saying something like, to the effect, and I've heard her say this before, but it looked like she tried to bring it up periodically that, our people are, and here's the reason I listened, because I felt part of it, you know, they always have a little, you know, good thing that they do. Part of it she was saying about the fatigue and the tiredness. Of, yes, our people are tired. But then she took that opportunity to push her false doctrine. She was saying that the 400 years, she said a lot of people was waiting for this 400-year thing, supposed to be the year of return. First of all, the way it says the year of return, the 400-year prophecy is basically ending the captivity, the state of being captive. Okay, so she acts like everybody just jump up and go somewhere. See, that's misleading right there. Okay, and then she said, you know, there's waiting for this 400 year, and then when, I'm paraphrasing, when nothing happened, and a lot of them are giving up, a lot of them turn back, and all this. He said, you know, my husband and I, we thought that too, but after further research, we found that that was in Egypt. You know, oh man, this person needs to be exposed, because I'm going to expose it, because I've heard them quote out of the book of Jasher. You know, like it's pure gospel, and I believe the book of Jasher. There's no problem with that. But here they are, quoting the book of Jasher, you know, using it as a text resource, and then now they're going to say they don't believe the 400-year prophecy applies to us, it applied to Egypt. So you pick and choose what you want to believe in Jasher. Book of Jasher says we were afflicted in Egypt 215 years. Not 400 years. That's, you could pull that up right in Google, the book of Jasher. So they pick and choose what they want to use. So I believe this part of Jasher, but I don't believe that part of Jasher. So you just want to get out in front and say, oh, when the 400 years come, see, at least we didn't think that, y'all. You know, we thought something different. So, you know, follow up. Oh, no. I sense that religious spirit. And I tell you, Elder, I had a neighbor come out of a certain denomination, in the Christian denomination. And pretty much I found out the same denomination they came out of. And my neighbor... This denomination is apostolic. These people, they have a mindset that they're never wrong. They could be wrong and all get out, but they never admit that they're wrong. And I see that same mindset in these people, and they're trying to wiggle their way and have people look at them and say, see, I had the truth all along. You guys were believing in this 400-year prophecy. Well, just we've already ministered on that, Elder, so we're not going to go over it all again. But Elder, in that prophecy, he said at the end of 400 years, he didn't say we're getting out of town. The first thing he said is he's going to what? Judge that nation. That nation that we were under bondage. He's going to judge that. Why don't you take it step by step? Why don't you wait for him to judge that nation? And you even have secular people believe that this nation is going to crumble, believe that this nation, in their own mindset, is going to be judged. So you have secular leaders in their own right that feel that this nation is going to go down. So they must know something that you so-called spiritual people don't know. This nation will be judged. The judgment is before the Exodus. So stop acting like, oh, well, this is supposed to be the year of return. That ticked me off so much because I discern the spirit of deception. And for some reason, boy, people try to act real religious. And they try to come across pious and make themselves seem like they're telling the 100% truth, and they're just as off, and their motives are just as impure as can be. I don't care how long they've been ministering. I don't care how long they've been online. I don't care how big a following they have. I don't care how many thousands of comments they got. Yeah, our people better stop following stars. Our people better stop following leaders. You better build a relationship for Yah for yourself. First of all, it's going to be a day, and it might not be too far away from here, where this medium, including what we're talking on right now, could just go away, at least for subjects like this. So you're not going to have us to listen to. You're not going to have your favorite star teacher, Hebrew teacher to listen to. You got to have that relationship with you and Yah through his Ruach HaKodesh. You're going to have that relationship with him because that's what's going to sustain you. That relationship that you have with Yah. So you better not let it be built upon your favorite teacher. You better not let it be built upon us. Better not let it be built on your favorite YouTube superstar. You better start developing and nurturing that relationship with the Most High for yourself. I had to get that off my Elder. I've been thinking about that for a while today. Matter of fact, I heard this. I think that was yesterday that I heard it. And what made it so bad? They have this religious facade that they're just so pure, and it's not just them I'm talking about. It's others. That's why if you're not walking in the gift of discernment, I would just say stay off of this online media until you're studied up for yourself, until you're rooted and grounded. I'm mainly talking about new people, new believers who are just coming into the walk, just coming into this awakening. And I know we get hungry when we're just coming on. I mean, we're starving. We just like a sponge. We want to eat up everything. But remember, everything you eat ain't good for you. You know, you could vegetables and fruit is good, but, you know, you want to eat candy all day and cakes and pies. It might taste good, but that doesn't mean it's good for you. So just pray. You are just coming into this awakening. Seek the Father with all your heart. Ask him to lead you. Ask him to give you the discernment of his Ruach to weed out that which you do not need to put into your spirit. That means teachers, you know, ministries, weed that out because they can do damage. Matter of fact, one case in point. I've seen people, and especially heard people, who have come out of some of these camps. I mean, some of these cultish camps. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, some of them are so bad. They said, you know, they don't believe in the virgin birth. Now, I don't know all of the camps, but I know some of them don't believe in the virgin birth. They believe
mm-hmm.
Mary and Joseph got down, got it on, you know, physically. And
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they think Joseph wanted to put away his wife if he's the one that got down with her. I mean, put away his fiance, he's the one that got down with her. You know, I mean, it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've noticed people who were fortunate enough, some people who were fortunate enough to come out of these camps. Now I'm going to say something. Some of the ones I've heard, they're out, which is good. They say they are. At least physically, they might not still be good. But they still got a lot of that demonic doctrine in them. I mean, you could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the virgin birth they don't believe in, it's just the, you know, 12 tribe chart, all a lot of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When they leave, it's hard to rip all of that filth out of them, you know, because it's
mm-hmm.
like clinging them as a stronghold. So you've got to be careful what you allow yourself to get into. Yes, Yah can deliver
mm-hmm.
you, but you might have to go through a process, maybe even a painful process of deliverance. But you don't want
mm-hmm.
to be bound to get yourself yoked together with that type of bondage to start with. So I just want to send
mm-hmm.
that as a word of exhortation, warning to our people.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, Elder. Man, I'm all over the place, but I have to say the things that were about spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing. My wife showed me an article, and I want to read some of it. It's a long one, so I'm definitely not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to get the gist of it. It's going to show the evilness of this country and these so-called Western countries, how they're pushing
mm-hmm.
their demonic agenda, you know, homosexuality. Okay, and this is about just one African country. There's a lot of African countries against homosexuality, but you know,
mm-hmm.
the United States, especially led by the former President Obama. That man was
mm-hmm.
one of the most demonic. All of them are demonic. And I know black people get mad at Obama. All of them are demonic. But this man
yeah.
really had a special agenda for that homosexual movement. And so what they would do is try to impose severe financial sanctions upon these countries if they didn't promote that you know, that gay agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Uganda looked like they're taking a stand. And I just want to read a little bit of this. This is out of Reuters.
Mm-hmm.
This is out of Reuters. It says the article is entitled, Uganda Plans Bill Imposing Death Penalty. Now, they're going a little far, but look, that's their sovereign nation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They make their law. They say Uganda plans bill imposing death penalty for gay sex. Okay,
mm.
this is written by Nita Bahala out of Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
says Uganda announced plans on Thursday for a bill that would impose the death penalty on homosexuals, saying the legislation
mm.
would curb a rise in unnatural sex in the East African nation. The bill,
mm-hmm.
colloquially known as Kill the Gay in Uganda, was nullified 5 years ago on a technicality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure. I bet the United States or Britain, I bet one of them, the technicality, one of them paid off one of their puppet members of Congress. That was probably
mm.
the technicality of the government, and said it plans to resurrect it within weeks. Here's a quote.
Mm.
Homosexuality is not natural to Ugandans, but there has been a massive recruitment by gay people in schools and especially among the youth, where they are promoting the falsehood that people are born like that.
Mm.
Close quote. Ethics and Integrity Minister Simon Lokoto told the Thomson Reuters Foundation. See, they know that they don't fall for that, those shenanigans that people were born like that, you know. But what happens is where you get United States and Britain and these other Western countries, they got their devils in there too, and they pay them handsomely, and so they're the one that pushed all of this stuff, and they're the ones that, you know, when they go to vote on it, you know, they buy their votes. So there's a little bit more. It says our current penal law is limited. It only criminalizes the act. We want it made clear that anyone who is even involved in promotion and recruitment has to be criminalized. Those that do grave acts will be given the death sentence. Wow. African countries have some of the world's most prohibitive laws governing homosexuality. Same-sex relationships are considered taboo, and gay sex is a crime across most of the continent. You hear that? Across most of the continent, it's a crime. With punishments ranging from imprisonment to death. It says, and I'm almost done here. Earlier this year, Brunei, I guess that's a country, it's spelled B-R-U-N-E-I. Brunei sparked international outcry over plans to impose the death penalty for gay sex, backtracking only after intense criticism. See, they backed down when the white nations criticized. They say, now Uganda wants to follow suit. Lokoto said the bill, which is supported by President Yoweri Museveni, will be reintroduced in Parliament in the coming weeks and is expected to be voted on before the end of the year. He was optimistic it would pass with the necessary two-thirds of members present. A shortfall in numbers killed a similar bill in 2014, as the government had lobbied legislators ahead of its introduction. Okay, so you see, Elder, that took me to Isaiah 5 and 20, where it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. See, these countries, these Western countries would say that that's evil, you know, not letting them promote sex in schools, not letting little boys and girls be taught about, you know, I have two daddies or I have two mommies, you know, the kind of curriculum that they're teaching over here. They think that's a violation of your human rights. So they think they're doing, I don't know if they really think it, but that's what they're trying to come across to us, is they think they're doing good, pushing equal rights for everybody. So they're calling evil good, and they're calling people who don't want that mess in their country, who don't want that type of sin promoted with their youth and in their society, they call that evil.
Yeah.
So you see, we're in the backward, where that scripture is fulfilled, and I'm sure it's been fulfilled throughout history, but we could see it today. These Western nations are pushing all of this in the name of democracy. Let's spread democracy across the entire world. Well, what do you get in democracy? You get all of this stuff. You get everything gold. That's for, remember, it says rule of the people. So if everybody, if the majority just votes that men could start sleeping with little boys, if the majority votes, pretty soon people start looking at that as a good, acceptable lifestyle, you know, and they won't look at that as evil. You know, it wasn't too long before, years ago, the APA, American Psychological Association, had classified homosexuality as a mental disorder. That was no more than 40 years ago. Now, now a lot of the psychologists themselves are gay. So it's, that shows, and we saw what happened throughout biblical history, when these nations got so corrupt. What happened? We saw what happened in Babylon. We saw what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we definitely saw what happened in Noah's time. Yah had to destroy the whole earth. And he says it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. So here we are looking at good, evil, and evil as good. And anybody who thinks Yah is not going to judge this nation, well, you haven't been looking at biblical history much. All of these sins, these perversions, what the perversion, we say, when homosexuality back in Noah's time, it was all type. It says the thoughts of man's heart was evil continually. So what did you have back then? You had the Nephilims back then, the offspring of men and the fallen ones. So what did these offspring do? They started sexually engaging sexually with many of Yah's creation, not just the women anymore. The women just wasn't enough to satisfy them. They start having sex with animals, sea life, all kinds of things. So, and bringing forth perversion. Did you see those? I'll tell you what. Did you see those old episodes of what they call it? That Sailor Sinbad. I think Voyages of Sinbad. And even shows like Clash of the Titans, if you see those old shows, you would see these creatures like the one-eyed cyclops. You would see the body of a goat and the head of a man and things like that. Well, a lot of that stuff wasn't so far. Where do you think people got the imagination to put that thing? These Nephilims were having sex with a lot of Yah's creation, bringing forth abomination. He was actually having these type of demonic hybrid creatures, and Yah had to destroy the earth. Now, this is one thing that one of the brothers, I don't agree with his theology, but he brought this out very well, and he's deceased, unfortunately, at this time. Now, I might as well just say the whole thing. This brother was doing something. He was trying to splice together this awakening, this Israelite awakening, and he was trying to splice that into his Christianity doctrine. And he was called on the carpet for it, but he would not change. He was, he wanted to keep his Christianity. He wanted to have his cake and eat it too. And that brother's no longer with us. I knew another brother who was pretty much doing the same thing. He was called himself, ministering this awakening, but he would have a lot of Christian doctrine. That brother's no longer with us. Now I'm not wishing bad on these people. This wasn't my judgment. This is something that I observed. This is just an observation. I saw a brother who got severely ill. When I say saw, he heard these brothers, heard their ministry. They didn't see them in person. Got severely ill. And he today won't even change yet. He's trying to mix Christianity with this one. Now, if you're going to come out, you come all the way out. You don't mix the two. You don't talk about, your white Jesus and your Sunday worship, somehow Yah changed Shabbat from the seventh day to the first day. You want to keep your Christianity. You want to say all the laws are done away with except one. And guess which one that is? Oh, you got it. Tithing. How did tithing become the only law that's still in effect? You got to ask Pastor Creflo Dollar on that one. I don't know. But
Yeah.
But yeah, Elder, those are things I, you know, like I say, it was just a hodgepodge tonight. Just pretty much spoke some things that y'all had placed on my heart. And this Uganda article, pray for that country and pretty much a lot of other African countries, but Uganda's taking a stand. And believe me, they are under heavy demonic persecution. They are being threatened. They've been threatened with sanctions, and we don't know what else that they're that the leaders are being threatened by. The one who wants to vote favorably on that bill, you don't know that their very life could be at stake. So we have to pray for our brothers. You know, the Bible say, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil." This is what's going on. I like what Farrakhan say, democracy is rule of demons. It's not rule of people. It's rule of demons. And this is what they're trying to push all over the world. But judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And so I'm unlike that couple who really didn't offer any words of hope. I was listening. I'm offering words of hope. Judgment is coming to this nation. Don't fall into despair. Don't think that Yah's word is not true. Don't think that his prophecies are not true concerning us, concerning the 400 years. We're right on target. If you take a marker, I think we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. Take a marker, go over Genesis 15 and read verses 13 and 14, line by line. Cover all the rest with the marker, just like you used to do as a little kid. They, you know, you pull the marker down, read another line, pull the marker down, read another line. You would see the very next step after the 400 years was not for us to take some kind of mass exodus of 40 million people. The very next step, it says, after 400 years, for this nation to be judged. And it's right on target for judgment. This nation is crumbling. They're about to go push through an impeachment of Trump, and who knows what was that going to spark. That could spark an internal civil unrest, civil war, because the people that put Trump in, the so-called, you know, white nationalists, they are armed and ready. If they think it's going to be just as that easy where they could just vote Trump out of office, and they think these people, these white nationalists are just going to sit by idly and take it. They got another thing coming. This nation could explode because that group of people will think this is their last go round. They think this is it. And you took out our leader, and they feel that they will never get another chance to push their, you know, push their way of life, you know, to resurrect their way of life. They want, you know, they want the South to rise again. They feel that this is their last opportunity. And if you put out the light, especially in a way such as that impeachment, that can be enough in these fanatical people's minds that could spark a revolution. But Yah's people would be protected. See, when judgment hits, Yah's people, his remnant, his people will be protected. Now, you saw some of the people that was with Moses, they weren't protected. Now, they might have the skin color, but in their heart, they were not his people. That's why he had to destroy Korah and his group. And I believe you were mentioning that. Elder, you're speaking, I believe. Was that last week you were talking about Korah?
Yeah, she was.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so just because you might see some Israelites go down, you know, who look like you, well, what did it say in the book of 1 John? The book of 1 John is a beautiful analogy. He said those who went out from us, he said they went out from us because they were never really with us. He said because if they were with us, if they were truly with us, they wouldn't have never went out from us. So don't get your eyesight, you know, fixed on the, oh, man, the Israelites. No, Yah's people, Yah's remnant, Yah's elect. That's what Yah's looking at. You know, one of the damages, Elder, and I'm going to end it here, that we as a people in this awakening, we start getting a little bit too color conscious. You know, we start looking at everything with melanin is righteous. That's what this awakening is going to be about. You know, oh, we are his people. We are his people. All of his people aren't his people. Everybody with melanin is not his people. There's melanin in the devil. There always was. There always will be until the final judgment where he throws the wicked into the lake of fire. And that'll be the end of that. But there were always so-called melanated devils. Now, we should go to a more mature level right now and stop looking at the color of our brother and sister's skin, but look at their spirit. That's how we identify them. He said, by their fruits you will know. He didn't say by their color you will know. By their fruits you will know them.
That's right.
So Yah's people is going to fall under the protection of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under that protective shadow of the Almighty. Yah's people is going to be protected, but this nation is going to be judged. Elder, with that, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Elder. You know, I was just listening to you, you know. And it just takes me back to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, you know. And I picked up this particular verse a long time ago, and I've just been kind of trying to live by it because it says a lot. It says to us, you know, to the Torah or to the law and to the witness, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no daylight, okay? So that's what we got to keep in mind. We got to stay with the laws of Yah, okay, and the witness, you know, because that's what he's telling us. If they don't speak according to that, then, you know, you speak it. That's because there's no daylight in them, you see. And so why are we going to follow somebody that is actually speaking totally in opposition of Yah's word? You know, that's not going to get you nowhere, okay? Revelation 19, I believe. I just want to look at verse 10 because it's another something there. It says here, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see, do not do it. I am your fellow servant and of your brothers who possesses the witness of Yah. Hoshua, you see, worship him, worship Yah, for the witness of Yah is the spirit of prophecy. You see, so this is why we got to get into his word so we can have the right spirit upon us, you know, and as long as we can do that, then we won't get carried away with somebody just because they're popular or, you know, a lot of carry themselves around, you know, by the name of Maury and stuff like that, you know. We just got to be careful. That's all we got to do, just watch, listen to what Yah's word is telling us, okay, so that we don't let that happen to us. That's why we have to look at it because even in the, I think Peter, let me just look at that real quick as far as, because this is something for somebody to set out there and try to maybe make themselves look like they're so righteous just because the world haven't come to an end yet. Now, it's just the 400 years it's been passed. Does that make any sense? No. You know, because when we look in 2 Peter, he tells us, I'm just going to read the third chapter right quick, and then we can call it a night. I'm going to start at the top here. It says here, this is now, beloved ones, the second letter I write to you in which I stir up your sincere mind to remember the words previously spoken by the set-apart prophets and of the command of the Master and Savior spoken by your emissaries, knowing this first, okay, knowing this first, it says, that mockers shall come in the last day with mocking, walking according to their own lust, okay, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? You see, this is what we're going to experience. We don't have to be surprised because, you know, like you say, you hear people out there acting like that, you know, trying to prove that they are so righteous, you know. For since the fathers fell asleep, all continues as from the beginning of creation, okay? For they choose to have this hidden from them, that the heavens were of old. See, this is a choice that they are making. The heavens was of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water by the word of Yah. You see? See, they don't want to believe and understand us, accept the word of Yah. This is the kind of foolishness that we will probably be seeing coming out of their heads now, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water, and the present heavens and the earth and treasure are treasured up by the same word, okay? Being kept for fire to a day of judgment and destruction of wicked men. See? So we got to make sure we kind of understand these things and keep our faith and belief in Yah through his word, okay? But, beloved ones, let not this one matter be hidden from you, that which Yah one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Okay, so we can't pull Yah down to our level and all of a sudden, you know, put him in our hands and say, well, you didn't do this, that, this didn't happen yet, you know, what's wrong? No, you can't do that because he's telling us right here with Yah. Okay, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day with him. Yah is not slow in regard to the promise. That's what I want to keep in mind, because I'm telling you, you know, we've been waiting around here thinking everything just ain't going to be, it's going to be like we've been thinking or something, you know, and not really concerning about what Yah's word is saying. Next thing you know, this time, this day come upon you, and look, you know, and it'd be too late, okay? Because as some count slowness, Yah is not slow in regard to the promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards us. You see? He is patient. That's Yah's love towards us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see? See, Yah is patient with us, trying to give us a chance to get it together. That's why we need
That's
to.
That's right.
Get it together, you know. Don't be walking around here trying to make ourselves self-righteous just because Yahushua had not returned since the 400 years expired just a month ago or so. You know, that's dumb. That's stupid. But the day of Yah shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with intense heat, and the earth and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Okay? Seeing all these are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people are you to be in set apart behavior and reverence? Okay? So Yah's telling us, you know, we don't have to be sitting around, you know, thinking that, well, you know, I can get on out there now and show him, show the world who I am. No, I told them so and all that stuff. Nah, it don't work that way. Okay? Looking for hate for and hastening the coming of the day of Yah, through which the heavens shall be destroyed, being set apart, being set on fire, and the elements melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we wait for a renewed heaven and a renewed earth in which righteousness dwells. You see? That's what I'm telling you. He's patient with us, getting us ready, you know, allowing us to get it together, you know, where righteousness will be dwelling with us, you know. So that, and so, you know, this is why we need to understand and think about this thing before we get jumping out there, you know, condemning or trying to, whatever they do, make themselves righteous, self-righteous, and all of that stuff just because Yahushua have not returned, you know, since the 400 years expire. So being beloved ones, looking forward to this, do your utmost to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and reckon the patience of our master as deliverance, as also our beloved brother Shaul wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. Okay? Notice what he says. And this is key for saying this. As also in all his letters, speaking in them concerning these matters, in which some, isn't it, are hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the other scriptures. See? So we don't want to get caught up in this kind of lunacy, you know, twisting the scripture, thinking that Yah has a mind. Yah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heaven is high above the earth, so it's his thoughts, okay? So don't think you're going to just be able to just pull him down to think like we think and order him around. In fact, no, it don't work that way.
That's right.
You being beloved ones, being forewarned, watch, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the delusion of the lawless. You see? That's what I'm saying. We've got to be careful. But grow in the favor and knowledge of our Master and Savior, with Yahushua, Messiah. To him be the esteem both now and to a day that abides. So be it. So this is what we're talking about. We got to be careful. We can't be just thinking that we're going to twist things and make things be the way that we think it should be. Because I'm telling you, your thoughts could be so wrong, so far wrong. Next thing you know, you can look up and you're in the bottomless pit of the fire, and the whole world unchanged upon you. The whole world that you thought, you know, was you were going to be part of, you would have missed it all. So be careful, be careful, be careful. So, Elder, with that being said, yeah, I think we've said enough, said some good points tonight. I mean, I could talk all night, pretty much, if I, but, you know, we've came to a few points, and I know you probably have to work just like I do each day. So I know how they go. So let me let you go. We get on out of here, and we'll just come back on next Tuesday and bring another good word, because that's what we want to do. We just want to just, you know, introduce the word of Yah to you. Not that we're trying to, we're so much, we realize who we are. We're just servants of Yah, you know? And so we're just trying to do what he has called us out to do. We're going to do that, but we don't deviate from the word ourselves. We just stay with the word and give that to you. Not our words. That's Yah's word. You see? And that's just like what Yahushua said. I don't speak alone, but I speak the words of my Father who gave them to me. You see? And so that's what we're doing, too. So that's all it is. Okay? So hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I really appreciate that good message that you gave tonight. So with that being said.
Oh, like I said, I was, you know, it was just like one of them quilts. I was just piecing and patching it up there. You know, it was like about four or five little points I wanted to get across. I just wrote it down and said, you know, I know they might not fit cohesively together, but, you know, just I feel the Spirit wanted me to touch on each one of them. And starting with our people feeling wore out. And, you know, I believe many of our people, but I hope what we said today, Elder, with the Spirit, the anointing, I hope our people, the remnant of Yah, I hope they were reinvigorated. I hope they were recharged and ready to, you know, pick up that baton again and keep running this race. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Exhort one another. Encourage one another.
That's right. That's it.
They draw near. Hallelujah.
All right. Okay, well, all right, then. With that being said, we'll get ready to close on out, and I just want to leave you with this, that if anyone is in the room and has a comment or something like that, just press 1 on your phone, and we'll bring you on in and let you ask the question or comment or something like that, okay? We'll be glad to. All right. So, that being said, we're going to go ahead on and close it out with Set Apart Music. And here we go. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, family.
Good night,
family.
And shalom to all.
All right. Lila Tuz.